You're listening to The Big Show with Patrick Dumas on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Big Show Hour 4 live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Crack Foundation, Boeing Foundation Walls. We have a simple, permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems. They are all things basementy. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, joined by Ryan Dixon, senior writer over at sportsnet.ca, trying to get a sense of the Canadian clubs as two are doing all right, two not so all right. Ryan, how are we doing this morning, buddy?
Not too bad, Patrick. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. If I asked you, let's go back on Friday, heading into Monday, who would be more likely down 3-1? Would it be Colorado? Or sorry, would it be Vancouver or Winnipeg?
If you asked me...
Yeah, just based on the situations that were heading into the weekend, Vancouver having no Thatcher Demko, Brock Besser was kind of a mystery. He ended up playing. With both those series tied at one heading into the Friday's, into the weekend's action... When Vancouver comes out at 3-1, Winnipeg goes down 1-3. Who would have been, was it more likely you'd see Vancouver being up 3-1 or down 3-1?
Yeah, it would have been Vancouver, yeah. Absolutely, because you thought at some point, I mean, obviously game one of the Avs-Jets series just set a tone in terms of what you thought was possible for Winnipeg to just put all kinds of pucks past Georgiev, and that, you know, even though Hellebuck let a bunch in as well, he still played okay, and you just thought that goaltending advantage was going to be there. And the Jets have just shown, I mean, it's not even necessarily that Hellebuck has hugely let them down. It's just that they're not generating anything. They can't stop Colorado from coming out of its zone. I mean, Vancouver's probably played like it should be down 3-1 when you consider they've had 71 shots total in the four games, but they're finding a way. And maybe, you know, for a franchise, as our guy, Ian McIntyre, you know, notes frequently, it's certainly a lot of Canucks fans have felt like there's been a rain cloud over Vancouver, a figurative one, not just a literal one, for 55 years. But this is a little different. They're not used to, you know, this time of year saying we didn't play our best, but we won. And, I mean, obviously Sunday was unbelievable, but your point is well taken that I do think I would have picked the Jets to steady ship. And because I do feel like I picked the Jets to win that series, and I liked the mix of their team, and I thought they had a really good chance to beat Colorado, and I thought they'd probably be coming home 2-2 with a chance to win a best of three with two games in their building. But here it is, Vancouver. Now they've got to be feeling like if they can finish this off in game five, now you get a little break. Maybe DeSmith plays game five, maybe he doesn't, but obviously if he doesn't, and you get a little bit of a breather. I mean, at the very least, your backup goalie should be ready to start round two, and you go from there. But yeah, what a series so far for Vancouver, which just keeps saying we know we have to play better, but also keeps winning hockey games.
We'll shift back to Winnipeg here quickly. Is it just like? Because this was a team, they won over 50 games. They were the 2 seed in the Central Division. Is it just the fact that they don't have the star power, like the guys that can just turn it on, like Colorado does? Like Winnipeg just looks completely overmatched in almost every aspect. I think the only category they're leading on the stat board is they have more blocked shots. Other than that, Colorado has dominated every category. I personally didn't expect this.
No, neither did I. I mean, I do just think, I mean, obviously you're not just talking about stars. You're talking about two guys who, you know, you could probably Kale McCarr is the number one draft pick among defensemen, and McKinnon is real, real close to that for centers. Right. So, I mean, these are mega stars. But by the same token, you know, the whole idea with the bonus system is that they're going to be able to play the smothering brand of defense. And you've got this guy who's probably going to win the Vezina Trophy back there. And, you know, for large stretches of the year, it just seemed like the Jets were the kind of team that was well-conditioned to play playoff hockey. I mean, they just haven't been able to clog up the breakout at all, and can't seem to do anything to stop Colorado once the Avs get into their zone. So, I mean, I you know, certainly they don't have anywhere near the horses that the Avalanche do, but I mean, Toffoli came over and played well. Sean Monahan was a great fit as the second line center. They've got to get more. There's enough there. There's certainly enough on that top six to be producing more than they are and to get something going on the power play, and just hasn't happened. So we'll see, but they're going to have to come up with by far their best effort in game five just to keep this thing going.
And they gotta stop the disconnect. It feels like there's some more disconnect. It's the second postseason in a row where, you know, Rick Bonus is, you know, calling out the guys where maybe the players aren't a fan of the game plan. It's just like, you figure you had 82 games to figure this out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's just the kind of the head scratcher here with how it's heading into Winnipeg here and a very important game five tomorrow night. I guess with Vancouver, like Elias Lindholm, man, like he didn't have the great production in the regular season when coming over from the trade in Calgary, and you know, like whatever. And I think Rick Tocchet, I talked with Jamie Dodd out at Sportsnet 650 last week, and I think Rick Tocchet was, he's okay with that because he's kind of evolved into what this type of player that he has on this third line with Connor Garland and Dakota Joshua, and then he gets that massive goal obviously to win it yesterday. It feels like he's built for the postseason, and he's lurking all right for Vancouver right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a huge one for him. And though that line, I don't think has, you know, didn't do a ton until getting the goal on Sunday, you know, it was a good line for them down the stretch. And those guys did kind of come alive. And Garland obviously finished up strong. So I think there was, you know, they felt like they had something to wrap their arms around there a bit. And, you know, he came in. He's obviously played a top six role for a long time in Calgary, but he came in as a guy who was going to play behind Pettersson and Miller and was going to have to, you know, he wasn't going to be counted on to be the lead horse. So he's blending well now. I mean, a goal like that, second one of the series, but I mean, especially one like that, obviously you're going to be feeling it after scoring the OT winner. So, you know, for a while there, I think Canucks fans were a little nervous about what they got. We even had those crazy few days before the deadline where you wondered if he might actually get slipped again. Obviously that didn't happen. And yeah, he settled it into a role on that line that I think Tocchet largely trusts and probably believes can be very good for him the rest of the playoffs.
Does the other Elias Pettersson, need to get going for the Canucks to just feel a bit better about themselves if they end up winning this this round, they get into the second round? Do they feel like they need Pettersson to get going here if they want to have success?
Absolutely. I mean, we just talked about it with Colorado. Yeah. What impact those stars can have on the game. I mean, Vancouver needs that from its guys. And Quinn Hughes is basically on the level of Makar. And Pettersson is supposed to live in the same neighborhood as Nathan MacKinnon. So absolutely, they're going to need more. And as much as, you know, it might be this, they might get away with it for one round of not having their A game. They're certainly not going to get away with it for two. So I would think, you know, the perfect scenario for Vancouver, especially if they have to go with their third string goalie again in game five, is just come out and make that not matter, right? Come out and get a great game from Pettersson, from some of your big boys, and try and win a laugher and close it out on home ice. Absolutely. He's got to be more in the mix and prove that he can be, you know, ultimately that top forward who can lead a team when the checking is at its tightest in the playoffs. And thus far, that hasn't really happened through four games.
The other team here in Alberta, the Edmonton Oilers, they went up 3-1 last night with their 1-0 win over LA. They, you know, LA took it to them on the shot clock at least. But like, if you're an Oiler, that's got to feel really good. Like, hey, we don't have to necessarily win our playoff games, you know, 6-3, you know, 5-1, scoring a ton of goals. We're able to break it down, win a 1-0 tight checking game. That's got to feel good if you're in that Oiler dressing room.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the game that if you're an Oilers player or fan, you're looking at saying, that's the one we used to lose, right? And Skinner was great. Obviously didn't allow a goal, so it was a real good night for him. And they found a way to grind it out. I mean, the power play, which is operating at better than 50% through four games, pretty unreal, did its job by getting one, and they made it stand up. And absolutely, you feel like that is the differentiator between what it's been like in the past and what it can be like this time with a few more guys, you know, down further in the lineup who can contribute. Dernay on defense, you know, Fogel had a good year. McLeod, these guys, you know, Dylan Holloway has had a good run so far in the playoffs. That's a different mix. And you know, ultimately, it's going to come down to what 97 and 29 are doing up front, or that they're always going to have to carry the bulk of the load. I mean, I better throw Zach Hyman in this because he's got six goals in this. But, but yeah, it does seem like there's that's when it makes you believe there is a different layer to this Oilers team. It does have a slightly different complexion this time. And hey, I mean, you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but, you know, they're obviously looking in pretty good shape to dust the Kings. And, you know, we just spent 10 minutes talking about how Vancouver hasn't really looked its best and doesn't have its number one stud goalie. And if all of a sudden the Oilers get that draw in the second round, you know, it might start to look a little favorable. Yeah. So if you're the Oilers, you're not getting ahead of yourself. But, you know, everyone having a coffee today in Edmonton is probably kind of thinking to themselves, I'm starting to see the path here. I'm starting to see the path at least to a Final Four without maybe enduring a terrible, hard, rigorous series that takes a huge bite out of you.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, you know, you're starting to see it.
This is where you kind of miss the reseeding in the second round, eh? Or, you know, you could get, you know, you force a team to play another team instead of staying along with the bracket. Either way, Oilers looking good right now. We're talking with Ryan Dixon, senior writer over at Sportsnet.ca. Let's talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're down 3-1. Probably it's not looking good. I was listening to 32 Thoughts this morning. Elliot had some pretty good comments on what will happen to this group if they ultimately lose this series. You know, it feels like it is going to be an end of an era, at least for this core four, if this team does bow out here over the next day or so. But is that kind of the read you're getting here in Toronto? Like, if they do lose, that, you know, it might be it for maybe Mitch Marner?
Absolutely. It is hard to come away with another take than that after 48 hours of the obituaries already being
already
written on this team. And oh my goodness. You know, I was going back and forth with my editor, Rory Boylan, yesterday, talking about, like, what would a Marner trade look like? And there's so many considerations, and it's so difficult to just approach it like we're going to trade Marner, as opposed to, like, we're open to it, but there's got to be something else out there where the parts really line up. But, you know, his whole thing was, it doesn't matter if the perfect situation is out there. Like, at this point, they just have to do something. And, you know, you look at it and you think, so he would now be going into his final year of his contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, your options are, like, let's say they go into Boston Tuesday and get dusted, and it's as bad as it can be. And, you know, they limp out of this series and everyone's going, oh my God, tear this team apart. Well, at that point, your three options are either you trade Mitch Marner, or, you know, we're talking about him specifically because it's not going to be Matthews, it's not going to be Nylander. He's obviously catching the lion's share of the guff right now. Mm-hmm. So you're either trading him, or you're coming out and saying, we just signed him to an 8-year extension. You know, like, you want to have that press conference to say, after this, guess what? He's sticking around for a decade. Or you go into next season with him in the final year of his deal with less leverage by the day. And if, you know, things don't go well again, he can say, you know what, I'm sick of this stuff and I'm leaving for nothing. So it does feel to me like, assuming there isn't a tectonic shift in how these final, we don't know how many games, but I guess unless the Leafs can pull something crazy out here, that it sure doesn't seem like they've given any indication they can. I think, again, this is going from a, you know, whereas in past years, the Leafs were, it was a no-go at all to touch the core, or at the very least, it was going to take, you know, the perfect deal. Now I think they're going into it saying, well, we've got to spend a month, 2 months heading up to the draft, figuring out, you know, who are all canvas, every team that's possibly looking to do something and trying to figure out how to make a change, because, you know, at some point you're banging your head against the wall, you're doing the same thing, you're expecting a different result. That's how you go nuts. So, it will be very interesting to see what the immediate fallout is, and then, you know, how things play out over the next, you know, month and a half as the offseason really gets going.
Because really, like, he's like their one, like, obviously save for Austin Matthews, but you're not moving him. Marner might be their one trade piece that can kind of set something else up for this lineup to fill out that bottom six, add some horses on defense, just maybe replenish a little bit in the draft capital as well. Like, it just feels like it has to happen. Like, I know I don't know if you're like just in jest there. Like, they could totally extend him come July 1, especially with Tavares's money coming off in the next year. Like, it just feels like he needs to go for this team to ever succeed.
And the funny thing about Marner is you watch him play, and in a sense, he seems like he's the kind of guy who should be thriving at this time of year because he is a two-way winger. Yeah. He's never been a floater. He's always been a guy who killed penalties. You know, he's obviously not the biggest guy. He's got kind of the baby face, so I think there's this perception that he's soft or something, mm-hmm. but he's always, like, I remember going back to his junior days when he was with the Knights and seeing him a bit and seeing him when, you know, back in the
Kachuk
in the
Dvorak
when the
line.
Russians would... Yeah, and when the Russians would send a team over to play the OHL, yeah. and the Q, and the Dub, and that was maybe the first time I saw Marner live. He reminded me of Henrik Zetterberg. Mm. Like, he was just a smothering guy who was all over you when he didn't have the puck, and when he did have it, he can obviously make things happen. I mean, he's a really, really good hockey player, but he just has not been able to show it at the most critical time of year, and you know, maybe there is just too much baggage at this point, but he's... I mean, I still think he's a player you're certainly going to get drum up some interest, but he's holding a bunch of cards too with only 1 year left to go yep. on his deal and trade protection. So it's not as easy as, you know, sending out a group email and saying, all right, send me in your bid. You know, this is you're going to have to work with this player to make sure that if you want to facilitate something, this is going to have to be a team effort. He's going to have to sign off on it and want to go. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out, but I mean, I guess we shouldn't get too far ahead of ourselves yet. There are, you know, they are still playing hockey.
Yeah, they still have one.
I just saw right before we jumped on, Matthews apparently wasn't practicing today, but I guess that's not necessarily a big surprise given it seems like the rest is what he needs. But we'll see what they can come up with on Tuesday. And if it's anything less than a titanic effort, there's going to be, a lot more questions raised about exactly what this team is just made of.
Could be a final game for a lot of guys. Keith, Nylander, or not Nylander, but Keith, Marner, it's so much. Keith Pelly's got his hand in the MLSC pot now, and they want to see some, they got to make some hay here with the amount of money that's being poured into that organization and the fanfare it receives. Just a couple more with you, the Ryan. I know that puts us, kind of wraps it up on the Canadian teams, but anything else? Like, I'm looking at that Florida-Tampa Bay series. I know it's 3-1 Florida. The Panthers can end it tonight. It felt like, you know, with Mikhail Sergachev back in the lineup, it might feel like the Bolts, they look like a completely different team, and there could be a tough out here for Florida the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of talent, a lot of pride, a lot of guts and guile in that Lightning room, so they're not going to be an easy out. But I do like Florida. I mean, obviously, they're just trying to get it to OT so Verhaeghe can end it at this point. But yeah, I like the way they played. And, you know, they obviously saw what they did last year. But you look at, you know, Barkov, obviously, Verhaeghe's been clutch. But, you know, Kachuk, that what was it, the second game, I guess, that they won in overtime, like, you know, first goal of the game. Kachuk is up in Vasilevsky's crease. The last goal of the game where Verhaeghe gets the OT winner, you know, who winds up splayed out right beside the Bolt goalie. There's Kachuk again, just the way he's in the middle of things. I really like the Panthers lineup. And I think, you know, they're obviously trying to exercise some ghosts here as well. And I think they'll be coming out hard and trying to end this thing before Tampa really starts believing it can make some kind of comeback.
Yeah, you make it 3-2, we'll get it back to Tampa.
That's where,
you don't want it back there. Ryan, what they got working on? What do they have you working on over at Sportsnet.ca?
Yeah, I'll be looking a little bit at the lotteries coming up. Yep. So I was trying to think about putting something together that's kind of answers who deserves a win more, and which I think we actually talked about last time, right towards the end of the regular season.
Who needs celebrating more, Calgary, Sharks or Flames?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm sure Calgary will make the list. So I'm going to be looking at the teams this week and using my off-season brain a little bit as teams start to fall off out of the draw. And, you know, we'll be casting forward because it happens pretty quick where all of a sudden there's only 8 teams left and everyone else in the league is already thinking about next year. But yeah, the lottery coming up, I think, and now it's Tuesday. It's going to be Tuesday. So I'll be, you know, trying to figure out in a perfect world who deserves to get, let's face it, Max Celebrini, but who deserves a lottery win more than anybody.
Ryan, we'll look forward to reading that piece. Thank you for talking some hockey, and I'm sure we'll check in later on in the postseason.
Okay, sounds good.